Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
And here we go.
K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s weekend just keeps on coming with this little ditty that reached up to 21 in May of 1970. The George Baker selection, Little Green Bag.
And we're back. And I'm your host, Big Lance and Phil. And
this is the Smoky Shelter.
This
What's
is
up,
the
guys?
Smoky Shelter. And tonight we are going to hit off with the great movie called Reservoir Dogs, written and directed by Quentin Tarantino.
1992, the very first movie Quentin Tarantino ever directed.
Also starred in.
Yes, he also did star in this movie. He wanted to be an actor so goddamn bad. This is actually not the first movie he wrote, though. Do you know that? He wrote Pulp Fiction before this.
I actually didn't know that he wrote Pulp Fiction.
He did. There was a couple he wrote. True Romance. He wrote that one before this. But this was the first one that, even though he wrote all of them, this one come out first. Because he didn't push those on. He wanted to direct his first film because he was... From what I understand, he was afraid that if he started having screenplays made and directed, then he would get kind of pigeonholed as a screenwriter and not a director. And he really wanted to be behind the scenes directed and all that. Of course, he wanted to act too, but he kind of wanted to do it all.
And he has.
So, yeah, this movie, Reservoir Dogs, was his baby, his first thing he did. And it stars... Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, Chris Penn, Steve Buscemi, Lawrence Tierney, Eddie Bunker, remind me to get into that, Quentin Tarantino himself, and so forth, so forth. And you do have a voice of Steven Wright as K-Billy DJ.
K-Billy.
Welcome back to our show. Tonight we are talking about the Reservoir Dogs, 1992, Quentin Tarantino.
And every scene you got to hear a little bit of K-Billy.
You know who Steven Wright is, don't you?
No.
You can't put a face.
Oh, you talking about K-Billy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked up the...
Well, I mean, you know what movie he's been in? The first movie popped in my mind that he had been in?
Private Parts?
No, Half-Baked. He's guy on the couch. Guy sleeps on the couch all the
Is
time.
Is he?
Yeah. And he's like, I thought he was your friend. No, I thought he came with the apartment.
He's a real DJ, right?
No, he's a real comedian. He's dead now, but he was a comedian.
I do recognize his face as being a comedian now that you say that on Half-Baked. But I was thinking when I seen him, I was thinking he was a real DJ.
Nah.
On IMDb, because he's so young in that picture.
He wouldn't be a good DJ because this is the way he talks all the time.
Yeah, but they were doing slow rock and shit.
Yeah. All right, well, you wanna tell us what this movie's about, Big Lance?
Soft rock.
This is your pick.
Yeah, man, I had the DVD for years, but I didn't watch this movie until I was probably 20 years old, so about probably 12 years ago.
So you actually owned the movie way before you watched it?
No.
Oh.
I didn't buy the movie until I was probably around
22,
maybe. I don't know. And then I finally watched it, and I thought it was badass, but I only watched it the one time, and I just watched it again probably after 10 years, and it holds up, man. It is badass, dude. I really fucking enjoyed it. But, I mean, I remembered, the spoiler. I ain't gonna spoil it right away, but I remember who the fucking...
Informant.
The rat was.
Right.
But, yeah, it starts out, they're all sitting at a diner, and they're telling old pussy jokes and talking about fucking Madonna.
Tarantino likes his goddamn diners and bathrooms.
Yeah, and they're talking old Madonna songs and shit, and just stupid guy talk shit. Talking about movies, Quentin Tarantino starts it out talking about different movies and shit, which I thought that was kind of neat. But it all, just them sitting around, and you don't know what's really going on. Just a bunch of guys sitting around a table, and they look like wise guys. They're all from New York or wherever they're from. Where are they from? I'm guessing New York. They all got that fucking New Yorkish accent, right?
Dude, honestly, I don't know that I can recall them
ever saying
where they're from.
But I know, ain't Quentin Tarantino from New York?
Beats me.
He started out at, do you know how he started out? I mean, he worked at a video store. Yeah, but he's a, but not only any video store. He started out at Archive. All right.
Proceed.
It was not just any video store. It was Archive Video. It was like the biggest, like one of the original video stores ever started in New York City.
Right.
And he just had a love for movies and TV. But back then, they wasn't very much. I wish I grew up in that time, because then I would know so much more about these directors and stuff. Because they wasn't very much TV or movies back then. I mean, hell, at 12 o'clock, they would shut TV down and be like, I mean, you don't even have TV network no more. Yeah. It's over until fucking 8 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knew everybody. He knew everything there was to know about everybody. And that's how he got the job at the video store. And I heard him talk about it in an interview. And that's what gave him his love for movies. And he never had to go to a writing school or film school. He never had to do all that because he just fucking... He worked at a video store. He watched every movie he wanted to watch when he wanted to watch it. And then he talked to people about movies all day. And, you know, so then he decided to start writing. And he put his first movie out when he was 22, 26. Something like that. It was in his mid-20s.
He did what?
Put his first movie out.
Which was Reservoir Dogs?
Yes. How old was he then?
I don't know.
I guess so.
You're going all into some shit I didn't research.
Yeah, because I
did research for a Quentin Tarantino backstory.
Well, I'll listen to an interview. I mean, I might be a little off on that, but it was like 22 or 26 he put his first movie out, which was Reservoir Dogs.
Right. Okay.
He comes off as a very fucking strange guy. And most of his movies touch on racism a lot, which this one does pretty good bit.
He has no problem throwing out the N-word whatsoever.
No. I mean, hell, he did Django, so, yeah, there's that. But,
of course, Steve Buscemi didn't have a problem saying it in this movie either.
No.
But times were different. This was pre-OJ.
What about Sean Penn's brother?
Chris Penn.
How'd you like him? How'd you like the acting in this movie?
No, I thought it was good. I mean,
there really was some good acting. And you know, I ain't never really knew Sean Penn's brother. What else has he played on, do you know?
Not right offhand. I mean, I've seen him in other stuff, but I can't think of anything right offhand.
He looks just like the son of a bitch, though, don't he? And that...
He passed away, too.
And that Madison guy?
Yeah, Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen. I thought he was a bald one. I swear, I thought he was a bald one.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Especially that smile he's got.
Yeah, I could see that.
Looks just like a fucking bald one. I'm like, that's not Steve. That's not Alec. That must be Daniel. And I'm like, no, there's another one. And I can't think of his name. And I'm like, that's who that is. That's the other one.
I look it up,
and it ain't none of them. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
He's a bald one in another life. But I don't know. I really enjoyed the movie. The first scene, man, I was like, well, this son of a bitch is pretty poetic here. And then you got your next scene, and it's Tim Roth and Harvey Keitel, and they're riding in the old, I don't know what it is, Cadillac or something. It's got a big old back seat in it, all I know. And it's covered with blood. And what is he calling him? Marvin.
Marvin.
He's calling him Marvin, ain't he?
Marvin is the name of
the black guy that got shot in the back of the car.
Yeah, but Marvin in this one is the officer that they have in the trunk.
I swear I hear him calling him Marvin at the beginning of this movie.
Well, Marvin's in the back of the truck, and I'm sure that's where the name comes from.
He's in the back of
the trunk of the car.
Of Mr. Blonde's car.
Yeah.
I'm talking about whenever he's riding in the back and he's like, I'm going to die. I swear I hear him calling Marvin one time.
Because at that point he called him Mr. Orange.
Maybe he did. I don't know. But I swear I heard Marvin come out of his Harvey Keitel's mouth. But anyway, he's sitting back there and there is blood all over this white fucking leather, and it just, it's a scene. I tell you what, it's a fucking scene. And a really good written montage. Is that the right word?
What?
Nothing. Anyhow, then you got your next scene, him pulling him in the fucking, I mean, we ain't got to go scene by scene, but he's pulling him in, but the fucking acting is so fucking great, man. Just every bit of Harvey Keitel, I love that.
Yeah.
And Tim Roth, man, he's a good actor. What happened? I can't talk and do that.
I know you
can't.
You don't. You won't stop long enough for me to talk.
But okay, I'm sorry. But Tim Roth, I don't remember him in much. I know he was in Pulp Fiction, but I can't think of him in much else.
He was in a lot of British stuff.
But he was a fucking good actor in this movie, man.
There's some parts I like, some I wasn't crazy about, but yeah.
Well, when he's learning how to act. When he's learning how to act as a fucking...
No, I think a lot of the relationship that him and Harvey Keitel went through was a little much.
What, like, hold me.
Yeah, I mean...
I think that is a touching... The biggest part about that scene, the part about that scene that I love the most is he's fixing to die, man. What is the only thing he... He's fixing to die.
Well, have you
the only thing he wants is human contact before he dies. He's just like, hold me, man.
He should be in a little bitch, man.
I don't. Okay, you're fucking bleeding to death. You've done witnessed 2 pints of blood come out of your fucking body.
And how that motherfucker didn't die?
You ain't got but 7 more fucking pints. What the fuck, dude? You're fixing to die. You just want some kind of human contact. That's the way I'm seeing it, man.
Well, I see it, too. I'm just saying. It's a little much.
I love it. I love that scene, dude. But, all right. Well, tell me a little bit about this movie. What did you like about it? What were some of your favorite parts?
Well, I like the fact, well, now that I'm talking.
I'm sorry?
Here. Now that I'm talking. I like how in true Quentin Tarantino... You know, form.
Fashion.
Yeah, fashion. Thank you. they started this movie in the middle of the movie.
I wish you'd do that for me because I'm so fucking tongue-twisted half the time and you never fucking help me.
Well, they start halfway through the movie, then they go back, then they go forward, then they go back. So, I mean, it's all mixed up, which I like that. I mean, I like that about Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he's a flip-flopper.
I like how you never see the heist. The whole thing is about a heist, and they show you before and after, but you never actually see the heist.
No, you really don't.
Because it's not about the action. It's not about
Harvey Keitel.
This whole thing is about the drama. It's about the dialogue.
I will say Harvey Keitel reenacts the heist. Mr. Blonde, and this is what he was doing. Boom! 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 You don't remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I love that part, too.
But no, I mean, I don't know, man. I like the movie. It was a good movie. Do I like that movie better? You know, do I like that movie better than Pulp Fiction? Probably not.
Oh, man, I don't know.
A lot of people, a lot of people prefer Reservoir Dogs over Pulp Fiction.
I like Pulp Fiction, but I think Pulp Fiction drags out a lot, especially.
I can tell you now. I think if I'd have watched those, maybe if I'd have watched Reservoir Dogs years and years ago, and then what? But I've seen Pulp Fiction so many times. I love that movie from start to finish.
I agree.
If I'd have watched Reservoir Dogs and watched it over and over and over again, and then just now watched Pulp Fiction, I'd probably like Reservoir Dogs better.
Yeah.
I think they're both good movies, but Pulp Fiction has a little more backstory, a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Sentimental value to me.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, but I love it.
It probably does to me, too. I mean, it's more familiar to me. It's more, I would hold it up to a cult classic because it's one of my cult classics. You know what I mean? I would hold it up.
That's a good question. See, would you consider
Reservoir Dogs? It's a cult classic.
Classic. Okay.
Yes, it is. But to me, I didn't get into it until a later age.
Right.
I watched Pulp Fiction when I was probably 15. I mean,
but how many times have you seen Reservoir Dogs?
Three times.
Three
and
times.
I watched two times just in the last week.
So you've only seen it one time in the past.
Right.
All right. Well, I watched it one time, and I think it's a good movie. I mean, but now I can't say it holds up because right. It's the first time I've ever watched it.
Well, it holds up the movies from its time. It was 92. That's strange. Quentin Tarantino's late in the game, man. 92. First movie. And look at him now.
Yeah.
I bet he gets snatched like crazy. I bet he'd be licking some toes, boy. He's a fucking foot lover, ain't he?
That's what they say.
Who says that?
Everything I've read about him.
Oh, I ain't read nothing about him. I just see it in the movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've listened to other podcasts and stuff.
All right, but then you got Mr. Pink. He comes in and he's like, "There's a goddamn rat." And Harvey Keitel's like, "Well, I ain't had time to think." He's like, you don't realize
the rat is. He's like, I don't know.
Pink's like, you don't realize there's a fucking rat. I ain't even had time to think. I've been taking care of this dead body right here. and they argue for, and there's a good fucking, I don't know, about 15 minutes of dialogue.
Oh, they pull a gun on each other, and they're damn near about to shoot each other, and then you hear. And it's Mr. Blonde with the soda. So this motherfucker has done kidnapped an officer after shooting a whole bunch of people and makes time to go through a fucking drive-thru to get a fucking soda.
Yeah.
And then the guy said something about fries. He was like, oh, I ate them in the car.
Right.
You went to a drive-thru after doing all that
with
shit?
With a police in the trunk.
Man.
With a police in the trunk. And he's like, well, I got a surprise for you, which is the police in the trunk. And they go out there and they get him, and Mr. Pink and Harvey Keitel, they go to town on this police just beating his ass. And what does he do? What does Marty Madison do? What's his
fucking name? Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen's just sitting up on top of like some...
Mr. Blonde, Vic Vega.
I don't know, he's sitting way the fuck up on some shit. And finally, they get some answers because old goddamn Joel, the guy who hired them to do the job.
Joe.
Yeah, I keep calling him Joel because the way they say it, it sounds like Joel half the time.
Joel.
But it's Joe Codine or something.
Joe Gatto. Joe Cabot.
Cabot.
Joe Cabot.
Cabot.
Cabot. Cabot.
And his son comes in, which is Sean Penn's little brother, Chris Penn.
Nice guy, Eddie. Goodbye.
Is it his older brother or younger brother?
It's his younger brother.
Okay. He comes in.
I'm 89.3% sure.
He comes in and he's like, there ain't no goddamn rat. So he's hollering down Mr. Pink's throat, there ain't no rat. He's telling him, y'all don't fucking hurry up and come with me. We got to get these cars out of here.
Daddy gets here. He always calls him Daddy.
Yeah. Joe is going to, or Dad's going to be more
no,
mad.
No, not Dad. Daddy.
He's going to be just as mad as you at me as he is at you. He said, I swear to God, if he comes in here, he's going to be just as mad at me as he is at you. I don't give a fuck. He's already mad at me.
But then I'm going to be mad at you.
Harvey says the best, like, we can't leave this fucking psychopath here.
He really is, dude. Apparently, he just started killing people during the heist.
Right. He's like, boom, 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 boom. Just that's exactly how the heist went.
Yeah.
He just started shooting people. And then he's like, well, they shouldn't have pressed the alarm. And I love the part where Harvey's getting all over his ass. And then immediately, I mean, he has no fucking reaction towards nothing. He's like, my blood's pumping so hard, I can't hardly contain myself.
And then when
my heart's pumping so hard.
Looks at him and says, are you just going to bark all day, doggy?
Are you going to bite?
Or are you going to bite?
Yeah.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you. Can you repeat yourself? I said, are you just going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite? I love that line, man. He was fucking badass, man.
Right. I reckon you want to get into his Vic Vega.
Oh, hell, I brought that up an hour ago.
You talked about it already?
Yeah, I said
Vic. That was Vincent Vega's brother.
Well, we talked about it in the Pulp Fiction.
No, we didn't. You said you wanted to bring it up in this one because you didn't talk about it in Pulp Fiction.
Well, yeah, I mentioned it a few minutes ago. Yeah, he's Vic Vega. He is actually, he was supposed to be John Travolta's character in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
That's who Quentin Tarantino went to, but he was already doing Wyatt Earp, so he got John Travolta and changed his name to Vincent Vega. He wants to do the Vega brothers.
I reckon John Travolta was trying to come off as that guy a little bit so he could act like his brother and all that. Because they do the same dance scene.
Similar dance
scene. It was really similar. Really fucking similar.
Right.
But didn't he kind of come off as John Travolta? Didn't he? I bet Quentin Tarantino said, do this as John Travolta would do it at like Saturday Night Fever. Play John Travolta in this scene. I think that's what Quentin Tarantino told Madison.
And then just happened to hire John Travolta to play.
Well, I thought you said they wanted to get him to do it.
No, they wanted Michael Madsen to be replay his character.
Oh, okay.
Well, or no, not replay his character because his character died.
Right, he wanted to play his brother.
Play the twin brother, Vincent. And when he said no because he had the other movie, they got John Travolta.
But didn't he kind of come up? Didn't he kind of remind you of John Travolta? Just John Travolta?
No, he reminded me of John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, but I think that works the other way around.
But I think, John Travolta kind of comes off as that character in a lot of
They have a lot of the same, the way they carry themselves.
They do.
I mean, they carry themselves similar.
They do.
And actually, Michael Madsen reminds me a little bit of a mix between John Travolta
and Alec Baldwin.
Really? I was going to say Steven Seagal.
Yeah, I guess.
See
okay.
that?
I see it.
But anyway, so yeah, I mean, so they leave and he's left and he's like, they finally left. He pulls his jacket off and what does he do? He starts fucking and torturing
the
cop.
He takes his goddamn, he's like, well, first let's listen to a little bit of Billy D. DJ. What up? K-Billy in the morning. Let's listen to little K Billy in the morning. And he cuts on that little slow rock and he starts doing that. Or first he starts shaving with that fucking razor blade.
What was the song? That song was Stuck in the Middle with you.
That's right.
Yes, I am stuck in the
middle. Yeah, you need to play that right here.
Absolutely.
All right, and then you got, and then he starts doing a little dance, and then he fucking jumps on and cuts his face and fucking cuts his ear off.
Cuts his ear off. But what cool thing about that is they do pull away, so you don't see the ear get cut off.
I love that scene because
sound
I love that
and
scene.
Scream, and
he jumps on top of his lap.
And it just,
and he starts, the fucking camera fucking veers off to the left, and you just hear the screams.
Like that, Big Lance just did.
Yeah, that's I did. I veered off. Anyway. But I love that scene. That's just Quentin Tarantino for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I want to say he did the same kind of scene whenever the Blackity Black was getting killed in Pulp Fiction. Not Blackity Black from Predator, but Blackity Black from...
When you say Blackity Black, I just think I think Bill Duke from Predator.
I know, but it kind of looks like the guy from People Under the Stairs, we also do.
Oh, Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames is not Blackity Black.
But when he's getting fucked in the basement, I think it veers off.
Oh, it does. It veers. The door closes.
Right, and you like, yeah, oh, yeah.
So you don't see it, but you hear it, and you,
yeah, that's Quentin Tarantino. That's a Quentin Tarantino scene for you. It just veers off like that. That's what I wanted to say. But anyway.
Ears getting cut off. Dudes getting butt raped. And that's Quentin Tarantino movie.
And then he gets up and he's talking in his ear. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I love that. Can you hear me now?
All right. And then he goes outside.
No, you can't.
Goes outside, gets a can of gasoline, comes back in.
Oh, wait. But when he walks outside, I love how the music stops. It fades off.
It stops.
Then you hear the street, you hear the kids, you hear the birds. He gets the can, he looks around, he walks, and as he walks back in, it fades back in.
Right.
Like, it's not part of the soundtrack, it's coming off that radio. And I love how they did that.
That was another scene where they do that, and it's where Sean Penn calls Tim Roth Harvey Keitel.
Chris Penn
calls Tim Roth, and Harvey Keitel is sitting in the car with Chris Penn, and he's like, come on down, we're here. And then you see Tim Roth, he goes over there, and the music's playing, blah, 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 and he goes over and hits his radio and cuts it off. And then he walks up to the mirror and he's like, they will never know nothing because you're super cool. I love that part. And then,
all right, so the ears cut off.
But I want to say another thing just because I want to talk like them one more time.
Okay.
Joe's like, y'all come out here and fucking laugh and play and clown around, but this ain't no fucking joke. We come to work, so let's go to work.
When all this is done, we'll sit by the beach and I laugh and joke with y'all.
That's right.
But right now,
you're Mr. Pink.
We got to work.
You're Mr. White. You're not changing your name. There's a Mr. Purple on another job.
Yeah, I love how they're all colors, Lawrence Tierney. Yeah.
They're all colors.
Why blonde?
But
and
hey,
the guy ain't blonde. Mr. Blonde is not blonde.
Tim Roth's explaining to the other black cop,
the not Samuel L. Jackson. He looks like Samuel L. Jackson.
I reckon.
You know what's fucked up?
It's kind of a chunky Samuel.
Samuel L. Jackson auditioned for the role and didn't get it.
Wow.
So did Ving Rhames.
Wow.
And they didn't get it.
Well, anyway, he's like,
that's cool.
The black guy's like, what does Joe look like? It's like, you ever see Fantastic Four? He says he looks just like that fucking the thing. He says he looked just like the thing. Did you catch that part?
Mm-mm.
And also, whenever they're in Tim Roth's apartment, he's got Silver Surfer. Magazine cutouts from comic books hanging up in this room.
I didn't catch that either. Yeah. Catch.
And I bet that was some fucking Quentin Tarantino shit.
Could be. Alright, so we cut the guy's ear off. We got the gas. We're pouring the gas on there. Ooh, that shit stings. Just got his ear cut off, throwing gas all on there. And right when he goes to light it, and he does the dance.
And you get to find out who the fuck.
And once he lights it, bow, 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 bow. And at first you don't know where those shots come from. I didn't immediately think it was Mr. Orange. He's laying over there about dead.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he gets a second wind, and now he's. But look at all the blood around him, man. I'm thinking he's bled out more blood than he could be functioning right now.
And right there he says, "I'm a cop."
He's like, the guy says, I know you are. Says, I know exactly who you are.
I know.
I met you before.
He says, you're Freddy.
He says, you're
Freddy something. He says, you know me? He says,
you know,
Frank introduced us at the something or another.
You know his last name?
Freddy.
Neuendijk.
Neuendijk.
That's what it says on IMDb. Freddy Neuendijk.
Neuendijk?
Neuendijk.
All right.
Neuendijk. Neuendijk.
So you find out, that's where the movie thrills you, man. It's a thriller, you know. This whole time you're trying to figure out who the guy is. And, you know, you might think it's Mr. Blue because Mr. Blue ain't showed up yet. And they think maybe he's got, the cops got him, you know. You know Harvey Keitel. Like, I mean, well, you don't really know, but he could be. You really don't know about Mr. Pink, well, but you kind of got it.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of...
You got strong feelings it ain't Mr. Pink or Mr.
Yeah, they're safe. I never really thought it was
Mr. Blonde, he's too psychotic to be a police. He's done killed everybody.
And they said Mr. Brown, Quentin Tarantino, died right from the go. Pink, they did go back and show him dying.
Pink even had more of a relationship with Harvey Keitel, but he says, I'm pretty sure you're not a cop. He says, Mr. Blonde, I'm definitely sure you're not a cop.
Because you're fucking psycho. Because
you're a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but hell, Pink don't trust nobody. He's like, hell, Joe might have set us up.
He's like, hell, yeah, he said Joe.
I'm not going to rule it out. I've known him since I was a kid, but I ain't going to rule it out. I definitely know I didn't do it, but I can't definitely say nobody else didn't do it. I love Steve Buscemi in this movie. Oh, I never respected Steve Buscemi that much as an actor.
What do you think about him not wanting to tip?
I just like that scene. I really like that scene, but it was fucking perfect for the movie.
I know, but that made me think when he showed up in Pulp Fiction, and he's a waiter. I wonder if that's why he don't like tips. Which happened first in the timeline?
I forgot that he was in Pulp Fiction as a waiter, you know?
That was all he did. He was just the waiter at the... he was Buddy Holly.
And he's a New York City fireman. I think we said that in the last podcast.
We've talked about it. He went and did 9/11 and helped out there.
He did. He suited up that day. But and he was a retired fireman at that time. Hell, he done played in fucking Adam Sandler movies by then.
Q was there too?
Yeah, I want to say so. I might be wrong about that, but I think he was.
All right, but anyway, so yeah. Now that dude's dead.
I'm sure he was. I mean, that was a long time. I mean, it was there for a while. Rubble was there months and months.
Years. Like a year.
Really?
It took close to a year.
Yeah, he was a fireman at the time, so yeah, I'm sure he had a lot to do with it.
All right, so where were we at? Okay, Harvey Keitel and Chris Penn come back. And Mr. Pink. So Mr. Pink, Mr. White, and Nice Guy Freddy, they all come back after getting rid of the cars. They walk in, Blonde's dead. They're like, what the fuck? Well, and then Dad comes in, right? Joe Gatto?
Joe
comes in, and they're all like, Joe's like, I know it's Mr. Orange. He's the cop, pulls a gun on him. White pulls a gun on him. Fucking Eddie pulls a gun on him. We got ourselves a Mexican standoff.
This is my thing.
Who shot Eddie?
Mr. Pink.
You think so?
When he walks out, he's got a gun in his right hand.
But I'm thinking, I don't know that Harvey Keitel didn't get a second shot off. I mean,
didn't see it, though.
I went back and watched it again, but it kind of looked, because he slung. I mean, it was like Joe shot Orange, White shot Joe, Eddie shot White. I think as White was falling, he went up and shot Eddie. I don't think Pink got involved in it at all. I think Pink just picked
first,
the bag up and
first
walked out.
First, I thought Orange might have did it, but Orange was out of bullets, and Orange didn't have
Orange was out of bullets.
Orange
he unloaded
didn't
his
have
clip.
Nothing in his hand,
and he got shot twice.
And he was fucked up.
Yeah, I think it was Harvey Keitel. I think when he come down, he shot again, and he
I'm
just
so Pink. I'm gonna stick with Pink.
Well, there's no clear cut.
Pink was up under the. He could have just shot
now, Pink. Boom. Pink cowered out, and then he grabbed the bag and walked out, and he got fucked.
But maybe he didn't, because if he did, he might would have shot Harvey, too.
Do you know he died, too?
You think Pink got away? No, he
died.
Pink?
Pink died.
How?
Because he walked out there, and if you listen real close.
You hear him?
Yeah, they're like, freeze, drop the bag, put your hands up, bah, 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 bah. And it's as it fades out.
I really don't know if I even heard that.
And I didn't watch an interview or nothing, but I read an article where they interviewed Quentin Tarantino, and he was like, yeah, Pink didn't make it. Everybody dies.
Pink should have been smarter and just fucking struck out when he had the bag on his own.
He should have just, yeah. Right.
Yeah, because everybody else is going to kill themselves anyway. But it was like, I love that scene where Harvey and Joe's having the fucking argument, and he's like, how do you know he's like, because he's the only one I wasn't 100% on. He's like, that's what you're going on? And that's when he pulls the gun on him, and then he says, you put your gun down. Quit pointing your gun at my dad!
At my daddy! Hey, we
you don't put that I've known you for a long time, but you don't put that fucking gun down. I'm going to shoot you right now.
We didn't even bring up the fact. We just glossed right over it. When they all walked back in after Blonde was shot by Orange, they walked in and was like, what the fuck? Blonde's dead. And right. Orange is like, I woke up and he was killing the cop. So he said this cop. Bam.
No, he shoots him about 6 times in the chest. But I like the scene also when he's telling him, I know who you are, I'm a cop too, and all this shit.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm fucking deformed. I'm fucking dying here, man.
He's like, fuck you, man, I'm dying.
Yeah, he said, fuck you, I'm dying here.
He's like, is it bad? Just how do I look?
Well, when he said that, he laughed at him. He wasn't mad at him then, but when he says, I'm deformed, he said, fuck you, I'm dying here.
But he tells, after they shoot him, he's like, what happened to Mr. Blonde? He was like, I shot him because he was fixing to kill the cop. And he was telling us that as soon as y'all get back, he's going to kill y'all and take the fucking diamonds and run. Right. And Eddie was like, that's bullshit, man. This dude did a dime for us, and he didn't give our names. He's honest. He's our guy.
Yeah, but he said it in a very meaner tone. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, fucking. He was like, no fucking
you
way.
You're sticking with that fucking story. So you're telling me that he come in here, he was going to shoot us. And we're just paying him back on the fucking dime he did for us. Never said a word. All he had to do was speak my father's name one fucking time. Yeah, he fucking went off on him. He knew he was fucking lying. He knew he was full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we touched on this movie pretty good, man.
All right, let's move into some rating and review.
I don't know. I hold it to about pretty much the same standards, Pulp Fiction to me. I think they're both obviously going to go down history as cult classics and some of Quentin Tarantino's best work. That's why I picked them first. I mean, I could have went with his newer shit, The Hateful Eight or Django or something like that. But this is, I mean, that's my favorite work by him is Pulp Fiction and Dust of Dawn and Reservoir Dogs and they say Kill Bill, man. I reckon I need to watch it. But I might have to give it. I don't remember what I gave Pulp Fiction, but if I was, I would give it pretty much the same. So I'm going to say 8.5.
Okay.
And I ain't sure if I said that for Pulp Fiction, but. Nah, I'll stick with 8.5 either way.
All right.
It was
pretty good to me.
I
like this movie. It's the first time I ever seen it. I'll probably watch it again. To me, it's not going to live up to Pulp Fiction just because I've watched Pulp Fiction numerous times over my life. This is the first time I ever watched this one. I'm going to give this movie, I think this was a really good movie, but I'm going to give this movie a 7.5. I'm not sure, again, what I gave Pulp Fiction, but I know I at least gave it an 8, because 8 is great and Pulp Fiction is great.
So this one was great?
I mean, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it, but...
Let me tell you what, another thing. I'm sorry for interrupting your review, but one thing that one thing I love about this movie is it's made in 92, but it looks like something made in the 80s to me, early 80s.
Late 70s.
I mean, not that it's made for an older time, that it's just, I'm talking about the filming, the way that they, you know, used certain angles and one camera shots and fucking just, it was more about the story than anything else, man.
The only
scene that I had a problem with in the movie is when Steve Buscemi's running from the cops and you got the three cops running together looking like fucking weirdos running together. That kind of looked a little weird to me.
Yeah.
But that was the only scene I had a problem with. But other than that, I love how he directed it, man. The way he fucking just simplified the camera shots and all and just made it more about the story. Yeah. The way you would see a movie done in a in an earlier time. Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to a little budget versus box office on 1992 Reservoir Dogs. What you think this budget was?
This is probably where it's gonna fuck me up because I really have no idea. I know it was a little small indie film.
It was.
I'm gonna have to say it couldn't be much, man. But maybe he taught he got a right connection to help him out. So I'm gonna say $2 million.
All right. Before I say this, I just want to mention this, that a little bit of research I did on this. He actually was going to take this movie and pay for it himself and do it. It was going to be black and white because it's cheaper. And he was going to be Mr. Pink.
It could have been done black and white very easily.
Yeah.
It should have been done a little half black and white every time they went back. Should have been black and white.
But he was going to do the whole movie black and white, and he was going to do it on a cheap budget, his own budget. And he got Harvey Keitel in on it. And when Harvey Keitel got in on it, he was like, no, let's get somebody to back us.
Right.
And then that's when they brought in Steve Buscemi to be Mr. Pink. But Mr. Brown did say, because he wrote all them lines, he said, I'm going to keep some of my shit. So he was telling the Madonna story at the beginning. And originally it was going to be him as Mr. Pink telling the Madonna story.
What the fuck was I talking about? So True Blue was about a guy, touches a girl who meets a nice guy, but like a virgin was a metaphor for big dicks.
Okay, let me tell you what like a virgin's about. It's all about this coos, who's a regular fuck machine. Now I'm talking morning, day, night, afternoon. Dick, 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 dick.
How many dicks is that?
A lot. So one day, she meets this John Holmes motherfucker, and it's like, whoa, baby. I mean, this cat is like Charles Bronson in The Great Escape. He's digging tunnels. All right, now she's getting this serious digestion. And she's feeling something she ain't felt since forever. Pain. Pain.
Chew, Toby, chew.
It hurts. It hurts her. It shouldn't hurt. You know, her pussy should be bubble yum by now. But when this cat fucks her, it hurts. It hurts just like it did the first time. You see, the pain is reminding a fuck machine what it was once like to be a virgin. Hence, like a virgin.
But anyway, they had $1 million.
Okay, so what, no?
No. Nope. All right, what'd they gross?
Well, just box office, but I'm sure they've grossed a lot.
Yeah, we're not talking about over years. We're just talking about budget versus box office.
Say they gross... $7.5 million.
Okay, they grossed 2.8. It's not a big. They doubled their money.
He fucking got a start with that.
Oh yeah,
the big star.
Yep. All right,
and it put his name out there, and that's what gave him. I mean, really, was his directing and writing is what gave him a start, not the money he made. But
you're right. Opening weekend.
$200,000.
Which one? 500 or 200?
200,000. $147,000.
Okay. All right, bonus question. How many months was this in the theaters domestically in the United States?
4 months. 4 months. Indie film, probably less than that. Let's say, I don't know how that works, but I'm going to say 4 months.
6 months.
Wow.
And actually 7, because in 2013 they opened for one weekend and made $200,000.
Wow. All
right. Not a bad night. I mean, you did.
You don't got video rentals on there?
Let me look and see. But you did good. I mean, you didn't do great, but you've done worse. That was pretty good.
Really good for an indie film, dude.
Oh yeah, you were on market with it. What'd you want? Rentals? Let's see. I don't know. I don't see anything on rentals, dude.
That's strange.
All right, I'll give you one more bonus question.
Yeah.
How long was filming on this?
Mm. not long. I bet they got this done 3 or 4 months.
1 month.
Wow.
Filming was 1 month.
Yeah, they all sat down and did this shit. All
right, well, let's move on to...
Well, I bet they all made a pretty good fucking payday working just a month on this month. I mean, you know, Quentin Tarantino worked a lot longer on it, I'm sure, but everybody else just worked a month. And they was done with it. Give me my fucking check. Mm-hmm. Made a fat-ass check, I bet. I bet all the actors... All the main actors made probably $20,000 or $30,000 a piece back then. Inflation, I bet that was fucking $200,000.
All right, well, let's do a little name game.
All right, it was 92. I keep forgetting. name game.
It's your pick. So I pick. So I pick the actor. Okay. So who do we want to pick from Reservoir Dogs? Oh,
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi would be a good one.
That's the only one I could think would be the best. I mean, everything else would either be Quentin Tarantino movies, which we both pretty much know the same Quentin Tarantino movies. And, yeah, Steve Buscemi, dude. Let's do that.
Well, hang on a second. Let me think. I could do Chris Penn.
Okay.
Michael Madsen. Tim Roth. Definitely. Harvey Keitel.
Definitely, yeah.
I only know 2 movies out of it.
Right. Just fucking pick Steve Buscemi. That's the only one we know a few movies to.
All right. Steve Buscemi.
All right.
You go first.
Steve Buscemi. I'm going to say Armageddon right off the rip.
Okay. Good. I'm going to say Billy Madison.
I'm going to say Con Air.
Good one. I'm going to say Pulp Fiction.
I'm going to say Little Nicky.
Was he? He wasn't. Okay. I'll take your word on it because I don't know.
Tell me he wasn't.
I'm not. He might have been. Because my next choice is going to be Mr. Deeds.
Okay. The water boy. No, he wasn't in the water boy.
He wasn't in the water boy.
Sure.
I'm positive. Awesome. I just watched it the other day.
Well, then let me change my answer. So Mr. Deeds. Which one did he have the crazy eye in?
That was Mr. Deeds.
Oh, was it?
Because he flew the plane and he had the crazy eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Um, 51st date. Fuck, man, I don't know. Happy Gilmore.
He's not in Happy Gilmore.
I don't know anymore. He wins.
He's not.
He wins.
I had one more in my mind. The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, well, shit. We run through that pretty quick.
Now, how long we talked for a good while on that movie, didn't we?
Well, we're at about 45 minutes.
That ain't horrible. But you got any more things you want to say?
No, I can't say I do, so. I reckon we're at one word. To describe Reservoir Dogs.
Suspenseful.
Badass. All
right. Damn, it can be badass, but not great.
It's a badass movie. I mean, there's a lot of badass movies that aren't great. Every movie can't be great, Big Lance.
I feel you, brother.
Well, all right, guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, check us out at smokeshelter.com. Check out all of our movie reviews, our books and stuff, our Patreon site, which you can link from there. And we got a lot of behind-the-scenes shit behind the Smoky Shelter, a lot of cool shit like that. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
Twitter's on Twitter.
We're on Podomatic. We're on Pocket Cast. We're on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Man, I think we're pretty much done with Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Any last words, Big Lance?
Snitches get stitches.
Bitches.
Why so serious?
Dance off, bro. Me and you. Broke into the wrong goddamn rec room, didn't you, you bastard?
Time to nut up or shut up.
You have no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being. Me, protect you. Sleep.
You want to do it again?
Yeah. Cut.
Damn.
Take two.
I can, yep.
Cut. Take two.
All right. Well, any last words, Big Lance?
Let's get to work.
I don't like that one either. You'd have to do something a little different than that.
All right. Tell them again. Let's go again. Take three.
Well, all right. Any last words, Big Lance?
Snitches get stitches. Let's get to work.
I don't like that one either.
I'd say four.
Alright, any last words, Big Lance? What the fuck? Hang on.
Let's put a smile on that face, Batman. Let's get to work. Let's get to work, Batman.
Why did you laugh?
I don't know.
I said, all right, any last words, Big Lance?
Because I thought you was done with it, really. I thought that was just thought we was both on the same page with the rhetoricalness of my voice.
All right, I'll make one of those work.
KBILLY, home of rock.